Dave Fanning on 2FM.
Many aspects of Queen Elizabeth's passing and all that it includes. There's so much going on in the news and pull out sections of newspapers and everything. It's been covered by the world's media all over the places, you know. One story in the news cycle, though, that may have passed you by is the surge in the sales and purchases of memorabilia relating to the long-reigning British monarch. For instance, a copy of last Friday's Telegraph newspaper is currently for sale on eBay for the princely sum of €250. Actually, 250 quid. That's a quid sign, isn't it? It is, yeah, a quid sign. Another seller has listed their scrapbook of newspaper cuttings from the 1951 Royal Tour of Canada with a starting bid of 66 quid. And right now on Gumtree, you can buy a Queen Elizabeth Barbie doll for £3,000. The world of memorabilia and collectibles is big business, but there's a human element to it as well. And here now to share his experience and expertise on this area is Ian Dowling. Ian, how are you doing? Are you all right?
Hey Dave, how's it going?
It's going very well indeed. He's the presenter of the Irish Pickers TV series and owner of the business Rare Irish Stuff. So Ian, memorabilia. I'm not going to ask you to define the word necessarily, but what actually qualifies something as memorabilia?
I guess they're just artifacts really that can be associated to memorable people or events. And with collectibles and collecting in general, essentially these kind of items are artifacts, whether it be a mug of the Queen or the Italian 90 mug featuring Tony Cascarino. They both do the same thing. They bring it back to a time in history when things were different. And sometimes it's nice to look back.
But sometimes it's a good idea to buy the things as they are and hold on to them for 20 years. Be surprised. Like somebody told me the Toy Story things from McDonald's from 25 years ago are worth a fortune. I've no idea. So memorabilia, it basically, it captivates people because we're talking here about a souvenir, a memento, a keepsake, or just a token of remembrance about the whole thing. Isn't that it, really?
That's really it, yeah. It brings you back, I guess, something you can tangible that you can hold and look at and brings you closer to times gone by, a moment in time, a person.
Well, then, obviously there's two sides to it all. There's one of nostalgia and something that just brings you back there that you want, and the financial interest as well. Which one is it mostly that you come across?
Well, I think the rule is really to buy what you know and buy what you like and don't really kind of think about the speculative side of it really. And if you follow that rule, you won't really go far wrong.
Right.
Whatever you buy, you're going to enjoy yourself, and most likely somebody else will too.
I don't know about that. If I thought it was worth something, I'd go for the money.
Yeah.
Are you surprised by the reaction there seems to be for memorabilia relating to Queen Elizabeth right now?
I don't have a great knowledge of royal memorabilia as such, but I understand why maybe nowadays with the eBay and the internet that stuff like newspapers and things like that that are bought in the UK that can't be bought in Canada or Australia would be selling for kind of big bucks immediately after print, you know.
If I had a Tony Cascarino, like from 32 years ago, mug, say, from the World Cup, could I sell that for good money?
Well, you could sell it for, probably about 10 times what you paid for it,
right.
You know, which could be about 30 quid or something like that, you know. And I guess that's only going to continue to go one way because these items become more and more scarce. And for Italian 90 memorabilia, it really brings us back, I think, to a really memorable time in Irish social kind of cultural history, you know,
no
and really lifted the nation. So all those things were very common back then, but they're harder and harder to get.
Yeah, golden age for Irish football that actually hasn't really been. I mean, we did get into the World Cup again in 94 and 2002, but seriously, nothing much really been happening since. So yeah, it's even more golden because of what happened into the quarterfinals. So when it comes to Ireland, what memorabilia is popular and valuable?
Anything really that relates to, you know, our history, for example, is anything 1916 or War of Independence related is highly sought after. And then, you know, like the likes of Italian 90, any kind of memorable gigs, any anything like that, really. It could be anything really from a record, a poster, T-shirt, a mug.
Yeah.
But certainly kind of anything 1916 related or War of Independence related. I'm always interested in acquiring.
What about stuff like signs and pubs and things? Like, do you remember, is that thing still there? I'm just wondering at the end of George Street, Why Go Bald? Is that still around now?
That's still there, yeah.
Oh, it's still there, is it? Oh, so you can't buy that, okay. Can you buy anything else that used to be there that isn't there anymore that people know in terms of like pubs or something like that?
In terms of signage, I mean, I actually went down to the HMV on Grafton Street when it was closing down, and I offered the foreman there 100 quid to keep the sign. And so he was happy with that. So I got a van and drove down Grafton Street at 9 a.m. and loaded that up. And I've still got that. because it's an with the HMV sign, for example, it's a I just didn't want that skip because it was an important part of, I think, our social history. Yeah. And people before mobile phones met there and had date, you know, for a date and got their first record or their, I remember queuing up for tickets myself outside of there with a cup of tea and a donut, you know, waiting for 8 o'clock to come round. And, you know, and so something like that, I think, is very, very important. And once it's gone, it's gone. It can't be recovered. So HMV Grafton Street sign was something, and then Tivoli sign as well, the Tivoli Theatre on Francis Street.
Oh yeah,
yeah, I got that as well, and I'm looking to get that back on site.
Hold on, you're collecting a lot of signs from shops, though.
Yeah, well, I think
venues
important.
That are gone.
Yeah, definitely, because once they're gone, and both those examples, they were going to be dumped, and now I've actually sold it back to the hotel. And they're going to put it up in their courtyard there and they're going to light it up. And it's a nice kind of nod to the old Tivoli that...
Really? Have to ask. If you sold it back to the hotel, did you make a profit?
I did, but I'm
actually
donating
it all. It's not a bad
profit, Dave. I did. I sold the profit, but I'm donating it to Penny Dinners over in Mead Street.
Right.
All of what I paid for the sign and the profit back to... So it's a... Everyone's a winner, really, you know?
Everyone's a winner. Everyone's it's a win-win. Okay, so what else do you have? You, personally?
Last week I bought... I had a fantastic find. Someone contacted me with a letter that was written by Eamon de Valera to James Connolly's daughter, Ina. And Ina had actually sent a letter to Eamon de Valera in 1960 looking for information about his interactions with her father. And this was kept in a writing desk for 40 years. And someone contacted me and said they were looking to sell it. So I went to have a look at it and it's the real deal. And it gives fascinating insight into the relationship between Eamon de Valera and James Connolly. And something I don't think it might not have seen. I'm not sure if there's a record of it anywhere else.
So hold on a second. Are you a kind of a broker person? I mean, are you trying to sell that for this person and you're the middleman kind of thing?
Well, I mean, stuff like the HMV sign and the Tivoli sign.
That's
I mean,
you
it's
personally.
Not motivated by money necessarily. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just want to salvage something.
No, I'm not even saying that the rest of it might be motivated by money, but it might be that you want to go from A to B and they do it through you. You're the conduit.
Yeah, yeah. So I'd be somebody that somebody would, if you've got rare Irish stuff and you want to sell, you can come to me, and if you're looking to buy, you can also come to me. So I'm a little bit of a middleman, but I also see myself as a bit of a custodian of historical items, really. But I have to pay the bills too, so it's a bit of a mix between...
So that's your rare Irish stuff business.
Yeah.
What is rare Irish stuff, exactly?
Well, it's just a bit. It's a business I started 12 years ago, and it just started hustling a few bits and bobs to get money for pints back in the recession, and it just grew from there, and I just kind of, I do a lot of pubs, Irish pubs and home bars, and just deal with a lot of collectors, really. So I just buy what I like, and often people come to me, they like those things too, and I make a bit of profit along the way. And
I'd imagine pubs and bars want to buy stuff though as well, and display it there, saying this was the
absolutely
original Hurley stick that scored the whatever in the 1959 final kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, sporting memorabilia, music memorabilia, even just old signage from shops. And I mean, once it looks good, I mean, it's got character, it can look good in a pub. And so that's what I look for when I'm out and about. I always, that's my bread and butter, really, all those kind of signs and that. I just kind of,
And what's Irish Pickers exactly? What is that?
Irish Pickers is a TV show basically about me, my Vintage Vinny, who's another dealer. He was on Francis Street. My best mate Butts and Ali
Butts
Ford.
And Vintage Vinny.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you buy a used car sign off?
Ah, yeah. We're a good bunch of lads, really. You know, but Vintage Vinny, he was up on Francis Street there for years, and he's a retired antique dealer now. But he's kind of taught me a lot along the way, and so it's the four of us and Max, Vinny's sidekick. Jack Russell, and just follows our kind of adventures around Ireland looking for stuff, really, you know,
as opposed to a Prince Charles. Okay, so listen, Time magazine, I believe you have a Time magazine, the Beatles signed it, did they?
Yeah, 1968 Time, signed by
the
Beatles.
Where'd you get that?
I got that basically, I met a lady who had her father was interested in all that kind of music, and he met Hendrix and The Who in the Isle of Wight and The Doors, and I bought those three as a set. And then she also had a Beatles Time magazine that he owned. So she was basically just selling her father's stuff. She said she wanted to pass it on to somebody who would appreciate it. And so I did a deal and I bought the lot, and I was very, very pleased with all of that.
Hold on.
And they've all been authenticated, so they're the real.
So are you telling me the four Beatles signed the cover of Time magazine?
There was an article about the Beatles.
They weren't the cover?
They were on the cover, but they also, it was on the inside that they signed, so the signatures are just beautifully wow. fresh and lovely.
Because yeah. I'm really trying to get to see what something is worth here. Do you know what an amazing thing? I have a Time magazine signed, right, with Rock's Hottest Ticket. You two are on the cover, and I signed with the four of them signed. The next day that I got it signed, it was a Tuesday. On the Wednesday, you're not going to believe this, I have another Time magazine signed by David Bowie. Well, now, yeah. how much would that? By the way, the signage or the signing, the autograph thing is fading a little bit, but it's there. And bizarrely, I know it doesn't matter that it was all done the same 24 hours, more or less. But give me a price.
Well, I mean, the U2 stuff, original U2 stuff, U2 stuff always sells. I mean, the demand outside of the country for that, anything U2 related, is really strong. Keep those autographs fresh and out of, you know, direct light, and that you don't want them fading. That's
well, they are fading
thing.
A bit, yeah. Yeah, you want to cheap biro I gave them, you know.
Yeah, well, you want to put that away somewhere dark and keep it away from light.
Really?
And, yeah, because that's all the right. first thing that will kind of diminish any value there for sure.
All right. You know? Okay. Well, I have a photograph of them signing with me in it. So would that prove anything?
No, that's definitely great. Phew. Yeah. That's,
okay.
That's
great.
Provenance, and that.
Okay.
That and by really the way, you've
got a ticket for Nirvana's 1994 show. I can beat that. I've got a ticket for the thing as well, and it's I have it in a glass case, or at least a glass case. I have it in what do you call a frame, and I have the Nirvana poster from the thing as well, which I got from Pat Egan.
Wow.
So there's the poster for the date that he actually died,
because
he was supposed to play in Ireland that time. He'd called off the gig if he weren't, and I've got the ticket as well for the gig.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm just using the radio program here to say 51552, however much you want to pay. Oh, look, the computers have crashed. There's so many people have come through. I've got nothing on there. Okay, sorry. So let's take a look at them, the items that people might have in their sheds or attics that they don't even know qualify as memorabilia. And I know you're going to start with albums from the 70s and 60s and all that, right?
Yeah.
But like, I mean, every time I read one of these record collector magazines or something, they always say, listen, your album collection isn't worth anything. Now, if you have these albums, or if you have pristine conditions of, like, you know, Sgt. Pepper still in the cellophane, or all that, that's worth a fortune. But seriously, are people's album collections on vinyl from the old days, if you like, worth much?
Well, I mean, what you can get for your vinyl can range from a euro to thousands. I mean, popular records made in their millions hold less value, obviously. So you just got to keep an eye out for rare records that maybe were made and withdrawn.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, but look, any record that was produced in their millions, you know, you're not going to get very much for. But look, I mean, they're really collectible and really fashionable now with millennials. And so, yeah. You know,
so my gracious, my affinity, my toe fat and my fat mattress albums aren't worth much, you know.
Well, you'd have to, I'd say, if you have a little look on eBay and compare. But I mean, yeah, look, there's definitely value there, 100%. And once the condition is good, and it depends on the rarity, how many of them were produced. That's the big thing, really. But there's massive, like, they're highly, highly collectible and really fashionable now. I mean, so yeah, it just takes time to go through them, but there's definitely value in there.
And what about musical instruments?
Well, yeah, so there's definitely music. Like, I mean, if you have an old Fender or Sabian cymbal or a nice violin or something like that in the attic, it's definitely worth cashing in on if you want to sell. And I mean, there's lots of people out there like myself who have dropped their dreams of becoming a rock star or something like that. So they've got these things buried away, and you know, so that's.
And old posters and things and T-shirts and all that. And
yeah.
Movie,
like,
posters.
Cool nostalgia, original concert posters, T-shirts, movie posters, all that kind of stuff. It depends on how famous the event. And but like, you know, the first Slane gig in 1981, or like you mentioned, the Nirvana gig in 94, Muhammad Ali fight in Croke Park in 72, Bob Marley in Daily Mount 1980. All of those, for example, would be really collectible and sought after.
Yeah.
So if anyone has them, give me a shout out.
And like, you know, with vinyl or whatever, like, would vintage stereo systems and things and turntables, they be worth much?
Yeah, they're experiencing strong demand of late, and record players are making a real comeback as a kind of a vintage home accessory, and boom boxes from the 1980s, Walkmans even from the 80s and 90s, and you know, vintage radios from the 60s and 70s, all that stuff is really collectible.
And what about clothes or accessories or all that stuff?
Yeah, yeah, again, like, anything that's deemed vintage is always in demand. And if you have clothing in the attic from the 60s and 70s, it could be worth quite a bit if it's stylish and in good condition. And 90s stuff is also in demand at the moment now as well. So that old shell tracksuit you have from your college years could
really
be worth a few.
I don't have one. So how do you work out whether something is of value? What I mean by value is collectible or money.
How do you value what you have?
Yeah, like, you know, like, well, how do you work it out? I mean, like, are you
I'm learning every day, you know. Right. I mean,
so everybody goes to Ian Dowling to check it out.
Yeah, well, you can do. Yeah, you can stop by me first if you want, but. Right. If you want to kind of get a general idea of value, I mean, eBay, there's so many online marketplaces now, so they're a good place to start. So especially with vinyl, and that, you're just so easy. You're a couple of clicks away from kind of getting a source on what your record's worth. And then, you know, there's auction houses then as well. You can contact them for an appraisal. And
yeah.
You can, they're a great.
Have you got a website for Rare Irish Stuff, yeah?
Yeah, it's rareirishstuff.com.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
And, wild guess, I was going to say that. Okay, so the TV show then, Irish Pickers. Is there a second series coming up?
We're waiting to hear, but we're hoping next summer. Yeah, so fingers crossed. We're kind of gagging to get out there now and do it all over again. We go crack last time and we'll have better crack again, I'd say, you know, because we have a bit of an idea what we're doing this time.
And it'll still include Butsy and Vintage Vinny, yeah?
Vintage Vinny, Max, absolutely. I mean, the whole, we'll can't wait, really. And back down over Mulligan's pub there, that's where we're based. So,
right.
Yeah, looking forward to doing
it. And was it on RT and the UK, was it? Or no,
it was on Sky History. And,
oh, Sky History, right.
Blaze.
And all right.
So you can see it now on Now TV and Amazon and... Aer Lingus flights, yeah. It's on Aer Lingus now. Yeah,
so, all right, Ian, listen, thank you very much. I'll keep in touch and see if I have some good old vinyl around the place.
Please do.
The presenter of the Irish Pickers TV series, the owner of the business Rare Irish Stuff, and thanks so much for talking for me today. And you can check it out at rareirishstuff.com.
Thanks so much, Dave.
Brilliant. Good man yourself. Thank you very much.
Fantastic. Thanks so much. Dave Fanning on 2FM.